Well, hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of the Hot Mess to Great Success podcast. My name is Dr. Jennifer Gardella, coming to you today with only one, shall we say, segment of the show. So first I want to say that the Hot Mess to Great Success podcast is for anyone that needs a little bit of inspiration in cleaning up their lives. So many people out there believe that their goal or what they should be doing is to put on a mask about how perfect their life is. And oftentimes those of us who are struggling with one aspect of life, well, we have a hard time thinking that everyone else is perfect and we aren't. The things that I talk about on this show are random, but all little pieces that have been important to me in building my life. Now, it's no secret that I am a survivor of vicious and sadistic domestic violence at the hands of an abuser who tore down my life. And I am proud to say that at the end of September, my first book on the subject has dropped and is now live on Amazon. And it's now Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So one of the trends going on this month on social media is survivors are sharing what October means to them, what Domestic Violence Awareness Month means to them. So what I wanted to do is come on here and share with all of you what Domestic Violence Awareness Month means to me. When I first started sharing on social media last year about Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I came under some criticism by one in particular bigwig in the field. And she said, "We don't need any more domestic violence awareness. We've had 40 years of domestic violence awareness." And I remember I wrote to her and I said, I understand your position and I certainly respect that. But when I was living in abuse, I didn't know I was living in abuse. At the time that I was in abuse, I didn't consider the physical violence that I was experiencing to be actual domestic violence. And I didn't know about the other forms of abuse. So that's what October means to me. This idea that we have the ability to not only communicate, but that I have the ability to share with everybody what I lived through, which was, while there was physical abuse, it was mostly emotional and psychological. So again, when I lived in domestic violence, I had absolutely no idea. He had convinced me that his rage, that all of the issues that he had, the relentless rage, screaming, the beatdowns, as I like to say, the emotional bashings that I used to take were my fault in some way, and or he would turn anything into my fault. He would get an email from his ex-wife or his boss would piss him off, and all of a sudden I became the target of all of his rage because I was the person that was there. And so I thought that the rage would empty out. I thought that he, and really I thought this because he had told me and convinced me and had screamed at me enough and had enough data points to point out what was my fault or what he wanted to pin on me. So he was right. I hadn't lost all the weight he wanted me to lose. I would have looked ridiculous. I was good the size that I was. He was correct in that there were times when instead of helping him wash the kitchen floors, I wanted to read a book. I wasn't lazy. That morning I had already cleaned all the bathrooms in the house and mowed the lawn. But he had this masterful way of pointing at just about anything and finding a problem and then making it seem as if it was all my fault. Now, through my healing journey, I learned a lot. And let me be clear, one of my big stances is that domestic violence, I am very well aware that there is a physical component. I'm also very aware that if you have a physical component to your relationship where you're being hit, where there are broken bones and bruises, where you are constantly covering a black eye with makeup, you really should call your local domestic violence center and do some safety planning so that when you are ready to leave, you are prepared. In the world of domestic violence advocacy, physical abuse one time is always considered domestic violence and should be dealt with. through my journey, I learned both it, when I lived with, in looking back on the abuse that I lived with, and then in the post-separation abuse that I experienced, I learned that abusers escalate. So if you are being hit, more than likely, it is will escalate in the future. What I really did learn, though, is that there are so many emotional and psychological tactics that abusers use to gain control of their victim. And that is domestic violence when it's happening in an intimate partner relationship. For me, this looked like relentless screaming, rage, and control. And he had saddled me with the idea that it was my job to heal him. I had to heal his broken heart. I had to heal his rage problem by being a good little girl and partner. I had to take on all of the pain that he had experienced from other women and in his childhood. And from there, it was my job to figure out how to make him happy on a regular basis. So I wanted to come on and share with you a little bit about the bigger ideas that I learned about during my healing journey in hopes that they will help victims out there. And I will say that part of domestic violence awareness for me is helping others see what abuse looks like in their friends, in their colleagues, in their family members, loved ones, because I'm learning that as people read my book, they have no idea what most of this looks like. So the first, and these don't go in order that I learned them. These go in order of how I kind of process them. So the first big learning idea that hit me when I was going through my healing journey was that domestic violence is, you're like this frog in this pot and you're very happy in the pot. Now it's a pot and you're kind of trapped, but he's trapped you in such a way that you just think that he's the best thing in the world. He's whisking you off on vacations. He is buying you really expensive gifts. You have your favorite drink is waiting. You go to your favorite restaurant. He orders your favorite meal and you share it. Things are romantic. Things are really amazing. And then slowly but surely, like the little frog in the pot, he turns up the heat. And the heat gets turned up to the point where you don't realize it's getting a little warmer. Things are a little bit more tense. Life is becoming more and more uncomfortable, but this isn't really the way that he is. He'll turn it down, he'll tune it down, he'll turn down the heat as he feels better. It doesn't work that way. From the minute that he met me and the minute I got in that pot, it was his goal to tear down my life. That I am completely convinced of. When we met, he was simply looking for his next victim. And I fell for a scam. I want to make it really clear also that a lot of people believe that domestic violence abusers, they typically present as the life of the party. They're the ones that gather all the guys around for the big annual guys vacation or the golf team or whatever it is. They present as the big man on campus even long after they leave college. And they are not. One aspect of my healing journey focused on the fact that every other victim has the same stories that I do. So it really means that domestic violence abusers are pretty freaking boring if you think about it. They all take us through this very similar premeditated plan, and there's nothing exciting about them at all. Next thing that I want to explain is gaslighting. I didn't really understand what was going on with gaslighting until it was explained to me. But the next few parts of that I'm going to share with you, gaslighting, reactive abuse, and trauma bonding, these were the things, these were the concepts that once I learned them, they allowed me to look back and say, oh, that's what happened. So gaslighting is any activity that an abuser engages in to make you feel as if you're losing your mind. So he'll say things like, that didn't happen, you're lying, I didn't say that, and you start to really doubt what you do remember. The sad part about this is that I actually started to keep a journal. I did keep it locked away in a location outside of our home. Big red flag, by the way, if your victim or yourself keeps a journal about problems she has with her significant other outside of the home. But I started to keep a journal of all this, which I still have. And it's very painful because it's all in there. He told me again that I was crazy, that I was making it up, that I was lying, when I knew exactly what had happened in a situation. The second thing that was very helpful, well, the second, I think I'm up to number five actually, but was learning about trauma bonding. So I can remember his friend calling to check in on me, and I explained to the friend, I feel like I'm in this vicious cycle all the time. We're going along and everything is great. And then all of a sudden he gets a letter or an email from his ex-wife or something happens that he's not happy about. And all of a sudden there is massive abuse towards me. He starts raging towards me. He starts blaming me for everything. And then either within 24 hours, I would say, there was another bit of love bombing again. This is called trauma bonding. He is trauma bonding his victim to him. And when you're in trauma bonding, you're like that little hamster on the little hamster wheel in your little hamster cage. You're running along trying to make him happy. From your victim, you'll hear things like, I'm addicted to him. That's a very standard feeling that victims have with their abusers. They're addicted. They're trying as hard as they can not to cause an incident, realizing they have no control over the incident. When there is an incident, whether the victim is involved or not, she still gets blamed and raged at. And then again, love bombing. So we go from love bombing to a little bit to abuse, and then love bombing to abuse, and love bombing to abuse, and that trauma bonds the victim to her abuser. By the end, the abuse, it was like you're living permanently in this hellhole. And as I say in my book, you're actually living on very, very small scraps of love. So the last thing that I want victims to realize, and I want their support people to realize, and when I learned this concept, it was very helpful in me processing what happened. Love shouldn't hurt. Now, there are disagreements in every relationship, and there certainly is compromise that has to happen. And if you and your spouse are fighting every month because, you know, you make a budget and one of you blows it on the credit card, or you really don't want to go to his mother's house, but he told his mother you were coming anyway for Sunday dinner, or little like occurrences like that, you may have small problems in the relationship. You may have things you need to work on. But overall, love shouldn't continually hurt. And when you are in a relationship with an abuser, you are in pain all the time. He is always cutting you down. He is always telling you what is wrong. He has humiliate you in front of other people. He would humiliate me when I was playing tennis. He would humiliate me with really horrendous nicknames that I talk about in my book. I was always, like I said, in pain. I was being screamed at for things that I didn't even do or wasn't even involved in his life. He once blamed me for his first divorce, which was crazy because I didn't even know him back then. In fact, I had never even stepped foot in the town that he was living in. So it was really the strangest thing to learn that love doesn't hurt. So, listeners, that's what October means to me. That's what Domestic Violence Awareness Month means to me. It reminds me of the awareness that I had once I started my healing journey, that domestic violence is more than broken bones and bruises. It reminds me of the amount of education that we have to do so we can start to get this information out to victims, or better yet, share this information with people now so that when they encounter an abuser, they kind of know better and step back. Show notes will be put here eventually with a link to the blog that is on my Steps in Time blog. I thank you for using this information in a way to empower yourself or to empower a victim on behalf of her and the healing journey she will go on. She may never have time to thank you, but I can tell you she's out there dying to be helped, and she will be forever grateful for your support. Until next time.